Sui An. Just like any of the incense. Yeah, yeah. Light the candle, yeah. Light the incense, yeah. Okay. Okay, let us stand, huh? Then we can commence the puja. Okay, let us start the puja by offering the tree. Huh? Sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start the puja. Just relax body and mind and maintain our sadha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then with the spiritual zeal, we will prepare for puja. We will do it mindfully. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghang namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then turn to page 1. After chanting book, then we will commence the chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa Buddhang saranang gacchami Dhammang saranang gacchami Sanghang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Surameraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. So now we have to chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna sarappa ditena ditena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyang tang Puja bacana motamang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami monindasa Siripada sarorohe Puje me buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena mattena ca hotu mokhaṃ paṃ milayati yatā idaṃ me kāyo tathāyati vināsa bhāvaṃ ādivāsetu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Matigan hatu mutamang Adivasetu no bante Pujanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Okay, Vivachanda, puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses of the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits, parami of generosity, and the fruits of all karma, so that we were diligently to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of fruits. Oh, sorry. We have finished this. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and consistency of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate wisdom, the one free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect. Triple Jam. Bedang pujemi. Damang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we can start our meditation. Just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attentiveness. For those who already know how to meditate, you can proceed with the meditation. It's very good if you can just relax body and mind. Body and mind must be in a state of complete relax before you can really develop the meditation. The first support to meditation is learning how to relax into every mind state that arises. The body and the mind, they must harmonize. That's why if both has the understanding to relax, then body and mind will be at peace. There is perfect harmony. Then to meditate is very easy. Just relax into it and silence. For those who still have not developed the spiritual faculty, maybe you may have some problems with the hindrance. The mental hindrance will arise, what they call the thinking. And this thinking come about because you lack spiritual faculty in the midst of life, daily life. So without the spiritual faculties, the mental hindrance become active, they will arise, and they will cause you to think. Every moment of sense experience, when you don't have mindfulness, awareness, and the wisdom or understanding, your mind will react, stir, and arise the hindrance of sensual desire and ill will, like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. So this is a reaction of mind that condition you to be heedless. Because if the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will continuously arise throughout the day when you are going about in your life, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful or entering the meditative state or inner peace and inner calmness. That's why you cannot meditate. Then this thing become habitual. So your habitual thinking actually come from all your reaction of mind, stirring of mind, your wrong view. That's why you oscillate between the two dualities. The mind will perceive things differently through your views and opinion. And because before you are enlightened, the evil roots are there. The self-delusion is there. Then self-delusion, condition, clinging, grasping, attachment, selfishness, cravings and desire, lust and all these things. This is positive craving. That's why it can become sensual desire very easily. Then when you are not happy, you can become angry, emotional, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, unhappiness, negativity of mind state, they will arise. Then when you don't have understanding, the delusion that sets in will bring about fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. So all this is due to your three roots. That's why your mind can become heedless. Because when you have such problem, it will become restless, it thinks a lot, it worry a lot. So all this worry, anxiety, sense of insecurity, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your unhappiness, you accumulate them all, you hold on to them. Then all the habitual thinking, born of your attachment to the things you do in life, your unfinished business, your problems of life, your unresolved activity that you cling on, they will create worry, anxiety, thinking. That's why thought is respond to all this memory that you hold on to in your brain when you unknowingly cling, attach, give meaning. That's how heedlessness come to be. So for people who have such problem, you need to develop some form of peacefulness before you can continue the meditation. Because the five spiritual faculty, when they are not there, means they are not there. Or not stable means it cannot cope with the hindrance. So what you have to do is, we have already taught you some skillful means. You can either use the mind sweeping method combined with metta to initially decondition your heedless thinking, means temporarily allow this mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking. Because mind sweeping method is just feel, relax, no more thinking. So you do it long enough, it's a very good training for the mind to be silent. Just aware, relax, aware, relax, or feel, relax. Your feeling is very near to awareness. When you feel without thought, you are actually very near to the awareness. So this mind will settle down. Then when you don't think, it becomes peaceful. So when you decondition your thinking mind, your heedless thinking mind, it will make you calm, make you peaceful. Then for the time being, temporarily, the five mental hindrance, they cannot arise, they are at bay. But once you stop, it will arise again because it's not rooted out yet. So what you need to do is, when it brings about the inner peace, inner calmness, you have to have a good mind. That's why you combine with metta. You radiate love and metta. First to yourself, body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You use your mind to feel your body. You can feel it clearly when you recite, may I, this body and mind of mine, be mindful of your body and mind. be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the wellness and the happiness within all your cells, each and every cells within your entire being. Yeah. Then your mind peaceful, calm, having this well-being. Mm. Then you can also radiate love. May I, this body and mind of mine too, be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering, free from all harm and danger. May its mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, without any mental negativity. Then may it keep itself happy, peaceful. Then may there be joy, may there be peace, and may there be love within your heart. So these are the various love and kindness meditation that can bring forth the metta, the love within. And this love can bring about a lot of inner well-being to strengthen your immune system. When your cell is healthy with all the well-being and happiness within, it will actually bring about the condition for your immune system to rise. Yeah, that it can overcome all of the negative energy field of fear, worry, anxiety, sadness, sorrow and lamentation. All these negative mind state, they are part of the evil roots that can make you evil, make you miserable, go into depression, arise the intense fear and all those things. So without metta, it's very difficult to reverse all this. So this initial training of mind to decondition your heedless thinking and developing the inner peace leading to the inner well-being can help many people. But this is just the initial stage of trying to train the mind to be in the state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner mindfulness. But this is the mind state that can meditate. And this training is very useful. But like I said, after the mind supreme method, if you stop doing it, it will come back. The mental hindrance will come back. You will start to get lost in thought, think. Then the heedless thinking will take you off. You are drawn off tangent very fast. So because of that, you need to stabilize that temporary calmness or mindfulness that you have developed. And to do that, like other meditation, they will teach you a technique or introduce a meditation object to you so that you can use it to anchor the mind, yeah, and then stabilize it. So the purpose is to train your mind to have a stable mindfulness, awareness within. That's why the Buddha recommend anapanasati, which is a very neutral object of meditation and very easy to develop. It is very suitable for most people, whatever personality you are, because the breath is a very neutral object. It will not bring about sensual desire or fear or negative tendency. So anapanasati, which is the one that the Buddha recommend, should be developed if you still need to train. And when you train yourself to develop this mindfulness through anchoring your mind to the breathing, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. So initially, like you feel your forehead, you feel your breathing, develop attention in front of your nostril. Then when you relax and just aware, you will detect your breathing. Then as you detect your breathing, the mind just follow. The mind and the breath move as one. That's why I like the Buddha's explanation in the sutta. Breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. So no need to count. Just relax, silent and follow. If the mind wanders off, patiently bring it back. Expect this mind to wander off many, many times because the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot. Don't have to do anything to it. Just allow it to be. accept it for what it is, then all this will settle down. Then after a while, with this understanding and training, the awareness will become stable. Then your anapanasati will start to develop. Then your mind will not wander off. That's the beginning of training. Then when anapanasati develops until it's more stable, you will experience a type of peacefulness within. They call it piti. Piti is a spiritual calmness, spiritual peacefulness, or sometimes they call spiritual rapture. You can feel the very strong calmness, like something rupture inside your mind. Feels so good. Then as you continue to meditate and relax into every mind state that arises, this piti can still transform and become sukha. Sukha is a more refined state of piti. They call it spiritual blissfulness. You will experience a very calm and blissful mind. And when it arises, it can bring about attachment if you are not careful. Well, you like it. You like it repeated. So what you need to do is just be aware of it, relax into it, and silent. You can experience it, no problem. Then as you continue to relax and silent, this bliss or sukha will also transform until you become very quiet, very peaceful. And the breathing also will slow down until you become very subtle, like no more breathing. Then you will start to develop what they call pasati. Pasati is another mind state, it's an enlightenment factor. It is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind, the silent mind that can meditate, that can understand many things. The main training purpose of this training is to develop this silent mind, which is pasati. When you hit pasati, don't do anything, just silent everything and stay there. Then when you are calm enough, peaceful enough, the awareness becomes very different. The mind enters sati on its own. Then later on, you will realize when this mind is quiet and still on its own, it actually doesn't need anything to make it quiet and still. And that is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. So this is the mind that you have to develop. And when you hit that point, you just silent everything. Don't try to know. Just relax into it and silent, maintain silent. Then this mind will become more and more refined until it becomes very still, very silent, no movement. During that time, the mind has entered sati. The mind is already in sati. So wherever you locate this mind, it becomes very sensitive. You can understand and feel many, many things. So during that time, you go back to your breathing. Even the subtle breathing, like no more breathing, become prominent again. You can feel it again, and the movement, although very slow, very subtle, like no more movement, but yet that mind that is already trained become very, very refined. The mind that is already in sati can feel all the subtle movement and breathing, like you don't have to breathe, very short little breath. To normal people, like no breath, but because of your mindfulness, you can feel them. Yeah. Then you just relax and silence everything and stay there. Then later on, if it drops to your heartbeat or chest area, you just relax everything and stay there. Then you will be surprised when your mind is already trained. It is very sensitive. It can detect all the vibration. Especially your heartbeat, it become very clear. Initially, it's like very pronounced heartbeat, popa, popa. Of course, no sound, huh? But you can feel it. It's like very strong and very violent, a lot of movement. But as you continue to relax and silent and let it be, just follow it, allow the mindfulness to be with it, then all this heartbeat or vibration, they will slow down, slow down, slow down. until little or no more movement. Then your mind suddenly, like shift of consciousness, shifting consciousness, enter a state of stillness. You can experience it within your mind state. Suddenly it happens. Then like there is clarity, all of a sudden, spacious awareness without a center will manifest. Then whatever you want to know, want to be aware, you can. Then you continue to relax and just silent. That is the training that you need to do. Then after that, you will understand a lot of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. And you will witness them arising and passing away within your own form and mind. Everything that you have been taught, the five spiritual faculties, you start to experience them. Initially, of course, the five mental hindrances. Then later on, as you go into the daily life, the five mental hindrances, you will see them throughout the day. Then later on, you will find them becoming less and less until the day your spiritual faculty is very stable, then you hardly see them. Yeah? And when your wisdom is there, they will not arise anymore. Then also, you will start to see how you function as a human being. Then you understand who are you, what are you. Then the dependent origination, the dwelling that the Buddha talked about, you see them very clearly. You witness them. Then as you continue to relax, silent, one day in the midst of life, you can insight into phenomena and realize their universal characteristics of impermanence leading to suffering, the empty nature, non-self nature. You understand, then you will awaken, and the delusion, the self-delusion that cling and hold on to your form and mind, thinking that it is you, it is real, they will start to fade and then disappear and cease to be. Because as you understand, awaken, it will root out all this delusion. Okay, I will now let you meditate. Then I will ring the bell after about 10 minutes. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then turn to page 6. We shall do the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching.
Samanta Chakravalisu Atragacchantu Devata Sadhammam Munirajas Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Vadanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Vadanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa Namo tassa bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti Peso Bhagava Arahang Sama Sambuddho Vijacarana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhamma Sarati Satta Deva Manusanam Buddha Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi paseko opanaiko pachatang veditabo nohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Yāpatipānno Bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Sāmicipatipānno Bhagavato Sāvakasāṅgho Yadidāṁ cattari purisayukkāni Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savaka Sango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketa Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, let us be pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang Pajami. Dhammang Pajami. Sanghang Pajami. Okay, you can sit. Then we can continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting and Q&A. Anybody who wants to ask any question or report the meditation, you just raise your hand. Then we will go through it. Okay. We open it up to the floor. Anybody wants to report their meditation or ask any question, you can. Yeah, because when you are first time attend Thursday class. Okay, Manyan, you can give it a try. Or ask anything you want, or report your meditation. Yeah.
Maybe I just share
with you. Yeah, very good. Yeah. You should share.
I think for the past 10 days, about around 7 to 10 days ago, because Brother Teo always talk about repentance, asking for forgiveness, right? And even just now when we were on the way here also, Brother Teo talk about it.
Yeah.
So, previously, in the chanting put, also we have that.
Yeah.
So I've been chanting that.
Yes.
For quite some time.
Mm.
But then, for the past 7 to 10 days, it was a bit different.
Yeah.
Because...
Yes,
I suddenly realized I could pinpoint what was it that was troubling me.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good. That what one was, is very good. Yeah.
Steering my mind.
Yeah, and causing you to have all those restlessness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And repetitive thinking.
Yes.
The heedlessness and all those things. This is what meditation is all about. After a while, when you start to understand, then your awareness develops without you knowing it. Then all of a sudden, the word like become very clear to you. Then it's so different from last time. This time when you ask for forgiveness because you have the understanding and your faith is very good, your awareness is there. Then when you mindfully recite, all of a sudden, you will be able to trace back why I ask for all this forgiveness. Because these are the things that the healers might do out to others. And according to nature's law, which is the law of karma, you reap what you sow. And these are the things that will come back to you. That's why when you have done this, whether knowingly or unknowingly, you have to seek forgiveness. Otherwise, this karmic negativity, which is already recorded in the nature's law, very difficult for you to root it out or even prevent it from arising, the friction later on. So when you ask for forgiveness, repentance, it actually helps you to overcome them. Initially, it's of course the karmic obstruction will be watered down. Then as you understand, as you have this ability to see your own defilement, your own negativity, then you start to understand what the Buddha meant by avoid all evil. Why you keep the precept? It's to avoid all this evil, even at the thought level, the wrong thought. What are wrong thoughts? The selfish thought. The thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion that will condition your suffering, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, and all this, you start to see them clearly. Then, when you understand them, you start to straighten your view. Then your faith becomes stronger, deeper. Then as you continue with this training of straightening your view and developing more mindfulness to see even the subtle defilement, you start to see Then you start to understand. When you cultivate accordingly, your mind becomes different. You progress very well. Then you realize you are not like before, always heedless, creating all the karmic negativity, causing your karmic nature to fall. Now you are so mindful, so different. You are so attentive. You can see them and you don't fear them anymore because you understand these are wrong thoughts. Thought that brings about suffering, misery, all the negative tendency that cause your karmic nature to fall. And this is not what you want because you are alive. You have to decide how you want to live it. So you were determined not to arise all this anymore. Then you start to understand the beauty of cultivating this beautiful teaching of avoiding all evil. Then the second advice is do wholesomeness, goodness, develop more and more kindness, gentleness, pleasantness, virtue, sincerity, faith, and all these things. Then respect, contentment, gratitude, reverential salutation. All these are the virtue, the wholesome mind state that you can arise and be a blessing to all. When you are kind to people, good to people, pleasant and gentle to people, people will feel the joy, the happiness, and you reap what you sow. In future, people will be nice to you, kind to you, be very sincere towards you. Then you will be among the good people. Then you will not meet with all those heedless, deluded people. Then your life starts to change. Then you realize this is so much better than every time getting angry, every time ending up in misery, unhappiness, and all those things. That's why when you do it correctly with the understanding and when your mindfulness arises, when your faith is there, all this will start to appear. And this is what cultivation is all about. It's the beginning. When you start to see this, you do it differently. You do it with understanding. Your mind state are different. And this is what you need to understand. Meditation is not about sitting, walking and doing all those funny meditation and getting all the bliss, the calmness, the fantastic mind state. To me, that is not real meditation. That is just going after peacefulness, calmness. Experiencing all the fantastic mind state. It's just like you want to develop craving more and more. Understand? You want to enjoy all this good thing. But as you enjoy, you don't develop wisdom. Then you accumulate to memory and you attach. Then in future, when you cannot get all this repeated, your mind stir, react, become unhappy. Then what do you say? Today my meditation lousy, no good. So duality is still there. Your mind state can still become affected because you attach without knowing it. The purpose of meditation is not this. It's to understand yourself, develop the appropriate understanding and wisdom and awaken so that you are no longer deluded, so that you can confront everything in life without having to react or stir like before. So that all this delusion, self-delusion, they will cease to be because not what it is, not what you think, they are all not real. You and the form and mind, dependent originating, condition arising, is not a permanent and changing entity. These are just phenomena, condition arising, dependent originating, empty, no reality within. Every moment is in a state of flux, continuously arising and passing away because condition continue to exist. It continue to sustain itself. Then to you, it's like very real. Oh, me, I. Then the worst is you have a consciousness and you don't know how to use this. It's a tool given to you when you come to this world, karmically conditioned out for you to use. To develop the cultivation, to understand, clearly so that you understand life and you know how to live life. But instead, you use it wrongly. You use it to arise all the negativity of thought, the errors. And with that, you not only harm yourself, you harm others too. You create negative karmic conditioning for your own karmic nature to reap it in future. Then you will suffer. And when you suffer, you don't understand why you suffer, because you are in that state of delusion and heedfulness. That's why you cannot understand. That's why without the Dhamma, it's very difficult to understand, to free, to liberate. So this is what I wanted to share with you all this while. And I'm glad a lot of Kayamita has developed this understanding. Some already passed this phase long ago. Like Alicia, they all, you know how difficult is it to see their own depression and suffering or not? How they land themselves into that state of severe depression for 16 years. And how do you come out of it? She just walked out of it like nothing. And the moment she understand, the whole of that thing gone. No need medication, no need psychiatry, none. She just walked out of it. Which she saw. That's why every time the mind that has this understanding will be very, very different, alert, mindful, aware. Then when he see the old pattern, the habitual tendency, that type of thought pattern that condition her into depression, try to come out again. Straight away the awareness through the understanding, straight away tell the thought, enough. For 16 years you have done this to me, just like the Buddha said. When he became enlightened, remember? He said, builder of the house, I have seen you. Yeah. Thy rich pole has been shattered. Yeah. Then all the roof truss that cling on to the rich pole for support, the whole thing is dismantled. You shall build no more house. You understand? Then you can talk to the defilement. You shall not delude me anymore into all those negativity of mind state. To arise the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the selfishness, the delusion, emotional negativity, to harm myself, to harm others, to hurt all the rest of humanity and the world. All this was, the moment you understand, you just walk out of it. And you don't need special meditation to see this. Because he saw clearly what he was doing. And he saw how deluded he was during the meditation. Then she realized all this need not be. If only she has got this understanding. Then she understands what is the meaning of love yourself. Understand, you must know how to love yourself. Otherwise, you cannot have love. And loving yourself is not like what you think. The cuckoo people love themselves. No. Love yourself means like you love your child. What do? When you really love your child, you go all out to protect your child. You don't allow it to commit any wrong, any harm. You will do your best to give love, to sacrifice, to do what you can to make them peaceful, happy, to guide them, to give them a good life, good career and all that. And that is love, because there is no selfishness involved. You just love because, of course, there is a relationship, they are your children. But then it need not be your children. So you can love the world, you can love everybody, you can love everything. But not the emotional love that people talk about in the setup. The lustful type. Love and want to possess and own. Now that is not love. That is craving. That is desire to own, possess, and control. So when you love yourself, it's the same. You will go all out to protect yourself. Not to allow yourself to be harmed by anything. means what? You have to train your mind to have mindfulness, to have awareness. Even nowadays, driving in the city, my wife used to say, you must train until defensive driving. It's not about you are a good driver, obey law or not. It's about those heedless people, aggressive people, they don't follow the law and they can come from any direction. It's no more right and wrong. If you are not mindful, if you are not the defensive type, you will get yourself into a lot of trouble. So not to harm yourself is to be heedful, to avoid all those that you need to avoid. Then you also have to understand, if you love yourself, you will not harm yourself, hurt yourself, or harm others. Because you will bring about karmic negativity and leads to your karmic downfall. So you have to be watchful, vigilant, aware of your thought process. We are born into this world karmically conditioned now, and we are endowed with a physical body and a mind for us to use. A vehicle and a tool for us to use. So use it appropriately. So don't use your thought negatively to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and hit out at others. Understand? When you deliberately think the wrong thought, it conditions your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and lament. You are harming yourself, hurting yourself, making yourself miserable and unhappy. And that is not love. That is foolishness, stupidity, delusion. Where got people use the knife to cut themselves and harm themselves? You understand? Your thought is like a tool for you to use, just like the knife. So you use it to cut fruit, cut vegetables, shape things, and help you in whatever you need it for. But you use it to cut yourself, harm yourself, the knife, hit out at others. This is stupidity, isn't it? Don't know how to use that tool. But basically, human beings who suffer, they did precisely that. That's why I said they don't love themselves. They are so heedless. They keep on creating all this wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action to bring about negativity or karma, to harm themselves, to harm others. And this is why it can be very detrimental to their life. So this understanding, when it unfolds in you, you become different. That's why I rejoice with what Man Yuan reported. Very good. You continue. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. After that, what happened?
Because I'm aware what was troubling my mind. So I can ask for forgiveness more specifically.
Sincerely and more specifically. Very good.
In general.
Yeah.
And as I ask for forgiveness, I can feel lighter.
Joy inside
moment,
there.
The moment I ask, I could feel it.
Yes.
And this morning when I wake up, something told me that not enough yet.
Yeah, definitely. This is just the initial stage. Later on, when this mind becomes transformed at times, it's very different. Everything you do is from the heart. It's no longer from the thought. From the heart. It's done with understanding, with sincerity, with faith. That's why it's different. It will come out. It's just like radiating love, metta. Initially, it's like parenting. Then you use the thought to will it, understand? Will it. When you will it, W-I-L-L, you will it, there is this thought involved, understand? But because thought condition feeling, understand? So your emotion is there. Then later on, when you are very skillful in doing this, all of a sudden, one day, you realize when metta is already in you, you don't have to will anymore. From your nature, from your heart, it has become a part of you. Then you just lift up your hand and radiate. It just come out. Then when it come out, there is a very soothing type of energy, not from the thought. It just come out of that metta. When you can do that, you will know. You can feel it. that really soothing by a very fine, pure metta. That one, all the non-human, all the animals, they can feel you. That's why it's very different. Yeah. And when it come out, you will know, the former mind will know. I remember even the early days. Later on, when the love, the compassion becomes so strong, as I speak, as I share, this energy flow out. It's very powerful, very different. That's why it can captivate people. It can make them feel differently. Especially those who have the condition, affinity, and they know how to silence their mind. All this vibration will go in. You will start to transform them. Good. Anything else? Yeah.
When I realized it wasn't enough, it was more to, because those things that stir my mind, when it stir, I react negatively.
Yeah.
So I know that I shouldn't be reacting negatively.
Means the habitual tendency is still there, you have not rooted out. First stage is, of course, you understand, you know, but there is nothing you can do, understand? Well, the wisdom haven't stabilized, you haven't contemplated deep enough. But you are aware that these are evil roots. These are wrong thoughts. So don't worry. Don't go and like, ayo, I fail. I cannot pass. Who is saying all this? The thought. Who cannot pass? The thought that is deluded, sure cannot pass. But you just accept the reality because the wisdom has yet to stabilize. So you have to reflect, contemplate the second turning until very, very clear. Then it will bring about the condition for the mind to awaken. Then after that, be patient. Don't try to know. Any of the first turning, second turning, or third turning, all of a sudden, that form of mind will awaken, just like that. But you must have daily mindfulness. Stability of daily mindfulness, awareness, throughout the day, more or less. Very mindful, just aware, in a natural state. Then it will trigger off. And when it trigger off, it's so beautiful. It's just like they say the aha moment. Suddenly like, aha, you understand. It just awakens. And not from the thought. Without you expecting anything, without you looking for it, it appears. If you look for it, it can never appear. If you want to experience it, it can never appear. Well, that one thing is a craving, remember. And craving is the cause of suffering. That's why you cannot awaken. You are greedy. You want, you cannot get it. Well, this one can only arise when there is no craving, no desire for anything. The mind that is free. The mind that is free will have the condition to receive it. Understand? The mind that is greedy, you can go and look for it, chase for it, expect it, and will it. It will never come, because that is the thought. Okay, continue. Anything else? Oh, no more. Thank you. Thank you for your sharing. You should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, tonight, actually, my intention is to share the Krishnamurti verses. If you have your WhatsApp, you can on it, because I didn't photostat nowadays, easier to carry in your handphone. Then we should thank Suyan for typing it out so beautifully. Oh, you managed to find it from the internet. Oh, good. Then cut and paste. Oh, very good. Oh, that is high tech. You save time also. Anyway, I got a photostat copy. So if you have seen my photostat copy, you realize I put there from J. Krishnamurti's notebook, dated 10 April 2008. I got this book 8 years ago. Somebody passed to me. They told me this is a very unique book. This is actually Krishnamurti's note. Understand not? Everything that he experienced, he record. No? He record. It seems some of it is written in pencil. And they find it very difficult to read. Yeah. But they managed to finally compile it and put it into a book form. And I can tell you, if you have the understanding, you have experienced all this before, when you read, you will have a lot of joy. Because this is the being that has the understanding. That's why he can write it down. Because this is what he experienced. And he can put it down in words, which are so beautiful. Where at that time, nobody has this type of understanding to teach. And it's on page 336 and 337. That's why this particular saying is very, very unique. It's a very simple two-paragraph thing. It talks about attention. When Krishnamurti says attention means you are attentive, understand not? Attentive means what? When you say you are attentive means what? You pay attention. Means you are not thinking. You are focusing, listening, all your senses. Just listen. Like at night, I share this example, you understand? Let's say you heard something. Then your heart tell you there is some noise. So most of you, in the early days, you scared, you thought you got thief or what. Oh, got animal coming through the roof and all those things. So what you do? You want to find out. You are silent, your mind completely silent, and just listen attentively. When you do that without thought, you are very sharp. Any movement, you detect very fast. But the trouble with the Shuhu people or the heedless is, the moment you hear, you through memory perceive already and imagine. That's why got ghosts, got everything come out. And so, but the reality is you silence everything and just listen. It's very different. Very different. Then you can be with the moment with it without thought. So attentiveness is attention. When I pay attention, I'm just being aware. There's no thought. That's why my senses are fully you use the word what? Fully alert. Just alert, waiting to receive contact, waiting to listen, waiting to understand. That's why when you really understand all this, then you will understand why Krishnamurti says there is an art behind seeing and listening. Seeing is an art. Listening is an art. There's an art of listening. Art of seeing. If you don't know how to see, if you don't know how to listen, you will not understand. I will go through this quote, you will understand. Yeah, this is like the accumulation of his understanding. So attention is seeing. Seeing is an art as listening. This one can follow. Roughly. You know what is attention is seeing. When you don't pay attention, you don't see. Can you understand? Because what you see is what your memory tell you. Your conditioning, your views, your opinion, your perception of what the thing is. That is not seeing. The real seeing is seeing as they are. Not according to what your mind tell you. Not according to what your views and opinion tell you. Not according to how you perceive it through your conditioning and belief system. That's how you see truth. You see reality. So here, attention is seeing means when you are without thought, when the brain, the memory, the knowledge is not interfering. And that is see, that one is direct seeing. You can understand, you can awaken. Yeah. So attention is seeing. Seeing is an art as listening. But one hardly ever listen or see. And now you understand. Why did he say that? You read on. You read on, you will understand. What did he say? But one hardly ever listen or see. Because everybody is occupied what? so busy you are with the things that you have to be done. What are the things that you have to do? Your daily chores, your duties, your problems. Then you are so preoccupied with what? All the things that you worry about and give meaning, understand? Your own unfinished business, your financial problem, your health problem. You worry about that, understand? You are so preoccupied with all these things. What about my marriage? How is it going to work out? What about my children? Are they going to become successful? You are so occupied with all these thoughts, understand? My new house. When I am going to have it? How are they going to deliver it? Is the developer going to give me all this? Not to say you cannot look into all this. You can, but you don't occupy your mind with all this, understand? These are the reality that you have to confront. So confront it when you need to. Just understand and move on. But don't go and carry it in your mind, thought process. That's why you are so occupied, and busy with so many things. Then, what are these things, he said? With one's joy, when things go your way, wow, you're so happy, you jump for joy. Then you call up your friend, your spouse. Hey, we go for a special dinner tonight. Not to say you cannot do, but you don't preoccupy yourself with that joy. Understand? You just understand it. When condition is there, it will be there. Understand? Then you can experience that type of joy. That type of peace. But don't be preoccupied with it. Don't occupy it like throughout the day you cannot sleep. Wow, you are so happy. You just want to have that good feeling. So this is attachment. Understand? It's no more that marvel, that miracle that happened at that time. Because when it happened at that time, there is no memory of it. Understand? That's why I say when you are able to transform your mind until it's so different, it's so fresh, so creative, so alert, so mindful. Every moment is so pristine, so beautiful, so meaningful. And you just experience it. And you don't accumulate, understand? Yet the moment is the only reality. When you accumulate, what happened? You will recall through memory and compare. Hey, last time better, no? Now, not so nice. When you compare, what happened? You are not silent. You are not attentive. You are not really see. You are not really experience the reality, the moment. You are lost in thought. You are preoccupied with all this mental activity and movement. That's why you cannot have that type of understanding. That's why Zen say drinking a cup of tea is Zen. So Zen, meditation. At that moment, you are mindful, aware, without thought. Without thought means what? You don't carry anything. No fear, no worry, no anxiety. The natural state of mind which is peaceful, aware, alert. Just aware. Then all of the activity, the movement is with the moment. Then when it drink, it really drink with the understanding of that moment. That tea is very different. But when you start to think and do all this without awareness, you are not with the moment. You are not living life. You are not experiencing them, there and there. The pristine beauty and wonders of life within the moment. You are too busy thinking, comparing, arising all this activity within. You can only do one thing at a time. When you are preoccupied with all this thought process, you cannot see, you cannot listen, you cannot experience, you cannot live. Then I read on, you understand. You are preoccupied with your joy, one's joy. Then your problems and tears, this one you understand. All your problems, your sorrow, your lamentation, your tears. The Buddha say, you add out all the tears you have shed over the eons and birth and death. He said, the four oceans is not big enough to carry your tears. Just imagine how much sorrow you must have shed to have that amount of tears. Not to say one ocean or four oceans. One pill of tears. You also, one lifetime cannot shed so many. You know, when you cry and you're miserable, you can only get one teaspoon or one spoonful maybe. And that is long time before you cry again so miserably. But when you have to shed so much tears over the eons of birth and death, just imagine how much suffering and sorrow you must have gone through. Then the next sentence is most beautiful. One has no time to see. You understand this phrase, isn't it? Or this sentence, isn't it? Why you got no time to see? Because you are never silent, understand not? You are always heedlessly thinking, worrying, planning. So much so you are never with the moment. So much so you miss out on life. You never leave. And now you start to understand why Krishnamurti is so wise. Then he said, but time does not give you sight, understand not? You know what is time here? Huh? What is the meaning of time? Yes, which is the past, present, and future. But here he mean it differently. He mean it psychological time, when you start to think. That's why he said, but time does not give you sight. You understand? When you start to think, what happens? You arise psychological time. Understand not? When there is mental movement, the time that you use to think, that is psychological time. That's why mental time arises. But when you are silent, still, without thought, there is no mental time. You understand? You can follow that. Very easy. Okay. Time. You got two types. Physical time. This one is what can be mentioned just now. Past, present, and future. This one, you cannot stop. You cannot change. Because this is physical time. Like our one day on this earth, defined by what? Yeah? Our earth rotation, one round. Okay? That's like day and night. 24 hours. Then you tie it to a year, which is the movement of our planet around the sun for 1 year, 365 1/4 days. That's how you define physical time. And this one you cannot stop. It will continue to move. But the other one is mental time, physical time. Oh, sorry, mental time or psychological time. Mental time or psychological. Wait. Psychological. How to spell here?
S-Y.
Oh, S-Y, the Bali. Otherwise it becomes Psy. Yeah. The Korean Gangnam style. She is Sai. YS. SY. Oh, Sai. Yeah. Psychological time. So this is mental time. Means when you arise a thought, then you are lost in thought. Then you create mental time. Understand not? That's why when you create mental time, time does not give seeing, understand? But when you start to think, you are not attentive. That's why there is no more pure seeing or direct seeing. That's why time doesn't give rise to seeing. That is what Krishnamurti means. But this is psychological time. When you start to think, there is a process in it. They involve movement in it. From this point of thought to that point of thought, there is this movement, activity in the mind. This is what he calls psychological time, mental time. So when you arise thinking, you are heedless, you are lost in thought. That's why he said time, but time does not give seeing. So now you understand. Yeah. Then you move on. Time hinders seeing and listening. And this one you understand, isn't it? You understand, huh? It does not give seeing because you are thinking. So when you are thinking, it will hinder you from seeing and listening, which is obvious. Then the next one is what? Time is the space for experiencing. And experience only dulls the mind and heart. And this is the most beautiful. Because when you start to think, means what? You create the space, psychological time. You create this space. This psychological time becomes a space for you to experience. And this one is at the thought level, understand? Not? At the thought level. And when it's at the thought level, you are actually deluded. Because thought is egoic, understand? Not? Thought is incapable of understanding. Thought is knowledge, memory. Because thought is respond to memory. You remember? Without memory, there is no thought. And thought, because it's just the whole of the awareness with its content. It's just like when you are attentively listening, you are just in the spacious awareness without a center. You're just completely silent. Then that awareness without a center can actually make contact with any of your senses. That's why whichever sense trigger off, you will be attentive. Because you like hearing through contact, the consciousness arises. Very clear. Then seeing, if you open your eye, is very clear. Then even smell, taste, because you are silent. That's why you can have that type of seeing, that type of experiencing, the pure seeing, the pure perception. Without the knowledge, the memory, and the thought process, the conditioning from coming in to interfere with what you see, what you hear, what you smell. Then you see things as they are. You listen to the real vibration, the real, without the words. Like you see things as they are. You listen also as they are, without the words. That real thing. That's why all this become very different. You can listen silently within the moment to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of that moment, the vibration with clarity. Then everything is like part of your nature. Even the wave, the vibration. That's why I told you at Cameron Island, I can feel the nature, the breeze, the energy, everything within that beautiful nature. It's like part of you because it's completely silent and one with it. Without the thought coming in to tell you a story, understand? Wow, today the weather very good. All this is from the thought, understand? How nice I can be here. No need to go back. All this is from your thought. Understand? But when you are silently there experiencing within that moment, you don't chatter, you don't verbalize. Everything you experience is so beautiful. But after that, you can tell people, understand? When you tell people, you have to use word, understand? But when you are there, every moment is so different, so pristine. You don't dwell, you don't get yourself entangled or lost in it. You don't create space to experience all these things via your thought, understand? You can follow. That's why you don't use thought anymore. But to live life, you have to use thought. That's why when you need to use thought, you use thought. But it's not to be heedless. Not to be lost in it, understand not? You use thought with understanding. Yeah, you need to communicate. You need to arise. You need to do things. So all this, you can only come to that understanding when you have transformed. When you have awakened. When you have stabilized your nature. That's why I used to share with you people many times about the possibility of having that type of mind state or life. Like Hui Ning say, your mind must have no dwelling. Is it possible to have that mind in the midst of life, every moment, every instant? Yes, I already explained. That's why you can have specific phenomenal awareness. You don't need to dwell anywhere. You can have spacious awareness without a center. You don't have to dwell anywhere. And the mind is so different. Then like what I used to share with you, in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. which Pulian picked up recently, always remind me and ask me. Then in the midst of sound, there can be silence. What does it mean? Means in the midst of activity, while I live life, this form in mind has a lot of activity. Like when I share the Dhamma with you, I have to speak and I have to use word. This form in mind have to do all these things. But do you think inside got any movement or not? The nature is still. No verbalization, no movement, nothing. But all this come out from the nature. Where it's the understanding, it's not memory, it's not knowledge, it's not thought. That's why in the midst of activity, even when I live life, when I move around or do whatever activity, when I travel, there is stillness. There is the meaning. And it can be done. It's possible. Then like in a noisy place, especially city life, you got all those vibration, the car vibration, coupled with all the, what they call LRT sound, all the what they call city type of vibration, a lot of people talking. Then of course you can be sensitive, there are also a lot of birds or insects, but that one normally in the park, not so much in the city. In the city you see when they come back at night, those what crow, they come in big numbers. There are a lot of sounds, so then they shit everywhere. So when you have this ability, when you are in the midst of a busy city, it's like in the midst of sound, vibration, everything, there can be silent. Silent means what? The mind that is silent. Understand not? Not the one in the retreat sign, put the forefinger in front of your mouth. That one is to me. Don't talk. Don't talk is not noble silence. Noble silence is complete silence. Means what? Your mind don't even chatter or verbalize. It's just quiet. That's why it's attentive. It don't verbalize. It don't chatter. It don't move. That's why in the midst of sound, there can be silence. Noble silence. In the midst of activity, there can be stillness. And this is what meditation is all about. Finally, you will reach that mind state. That's why you cannot be mindful and still and silent in the midst of life. You cannot cope with life. Why? Your senses, you remember the six senses? They arise and pass away so fast, like you can multitask. If you don't have that type of mindfulness and understanding, you cannot cope with life. You will be lost in thought. Every moment of sense experience, it will condition you. It will draw you away and make you heedless. That's why human beings find it very difficult to be attentive, to be mindful. Why? Because the spiritual faculty is not there. And the most important spiritual faculty is sati and samadhi. Of course, finally, wisdom, panya. When you have panya, then sati samadhi stabilizes on itself. It doesn't move, it doesn't stir, it's just like that. But when you don't have wisdom, what happens? You want to make it quiet. That's what all the thought-based meditation people do. So what they do? They focus, they concentrate. They want to control the thought, suppress the thought, so that it will not think. This is what they are doing. And they have to do because they got no choice. Because the spiritual faculty is not there. And that's the only way they can train to make it peaceful. And when they are able to train and become peaceful to one point, through absorption, through jhana, they think that is meditation. Where they experience fantastic calmness, peacefulness, blissfulness. And this is, to me, not meditation. If you have the spiritual faculty, you don't have to do all this. You don't have to train. If you want to experience, you can go and try. No harm. You can experience it. The jhana, everything. Experience. But you must understand, it's not going to awaken you. But this is a conditioned state. Your mind is in a conditioned state where the energy field is so strong. The absorption is so strong. It will keep the five
mental hindrance suppressed. When it's suppressed, it cannot come out. Understand? And you cannot know. Because you cannot test yourself. You may think you already enlightened. Because you are no different. Full of love, full of metta, so peaceful, so still. All because the energy hold it. Then you are like, really, really a fantastic meditator. But finally, when you get old, get sick and about to die, when you cannot develop the ability to hold on to this jhana because it needs energy, when you are no longer youthful, young, when you reach that time of old age, then it will start to make you feel what the body is all about, that reality will emerge. Then when your mind cannot do what you used to do, to have the energy field to make you peaceful and calm, what happened? You cannot cope with life anymore, understand not? You start to have fear, doubt. How come last time I can, now I cannot? What went wrong? Did I do it wrongly? Then all this thought will arise. Then because you can't understand who you are, what you are, you will have more problems. That's why you do all this. You cannot liberate your mind. Because wisdom is not there. But when wisdom is there, you become very different. You don't need all this energy field, conditioned mind state to be peaceful. When wisdom is there, you can just be in the normal state of mind. Just in a normal state of mind, you are already still peaceful, aware, without thought. And that is the real samadhi. That is the real meditative mind. And because of the wisdom, the mind becomes equanimous. That's why upeka is the last factor of enlightenment. And the mind becomes equanimous because it has wisdom. That's why it does not stir, it does not react. It can remain in the state of collectedness and unwavering. It just understands. But the wisdom is there, it's no longer deluded. The form and mind that is connected to the understanding and wisdom will not allow the form and mind to go back into delusion and get entangled anymore. Where it see and understand. The moment you understand, you liberate, you free. But understanding is not knowledge. That's why it's so difficult. Understanding is awakening, the realization. The moment you realize, understand, and awaken, you liberate. There is no such thing as practice to be enlightened. Practice to let go. Practice not to get angry. That is all suppression and control. When you don't understand, when there is delusion, you will go that way. You will be heedless. But when you understand, you become heedful. And you will not be deluded. That's it. That's why at the moment of sense experience, either you have the wisdom, yoniso manasikara, then feeling become pure feeling. It will not go into craving. Otherwise, you try to cut a feeling. I tell you, you must be the most crazy fellow to do that. When you still have delusion, you try to cut a feeling and don't want to have craving. How can you not have craving when you are deluded? Understand? The egoic mind has the wrong view. The attachment, the clinging, thinking is you. How can it cut a feeling? Then when you suppress and control, it is going to bottle up and erupt later on. It's just like you like patiently in the name of enduring what your spouse do to you or your friend who is not friendly to you. You are actually suppressing your emotion. Understand? Then one day when you cannot take it, what happened? You will just burst out. Understand? And when you burst out, your spouse or your that friend will become panic. Because they never see you like that. That's why they say, never make a lady angry. Never make a lady angry. Otherwise you can know the consequence. The Cantonese got one famous saying, they chop you out until 16 pieces. 18, sapatlaw, not 16, 18. Okay, we go on. Oh, 10 o'clock, we have to go on. So time is the space for experiencing, and experiencing only downs the mind. So this is what it means. Time is the space to experience, or for experiencing. Yes, you use time, which is psychological time, to think about it, understand not? Then you accumulate it, understand not? Wow, this is nice. Next time I'm going to tell my children, my friend, my spouse, show them the WhatsApp. So beautiful. Like just now, Silun was very good. The son sent him a very beautiful WhatsApp photo from New Zealand. They were in Christchurch, Mount Cook, and all those beautiful picture and photo. And you know what his advice to the children is? Be aware of it. Feel it. Be with it. Oh, then you really experience. Wow, I say very good. Hope they understand. That's why he start to understand, children start to understand, but he can feel it. It's so different. Then he told me another very good sharing, he said, nowadays, he initially told me, he said, actually mindfulness of the physical body, kaya, all the movement is very important. And he said, now it's very easy. Now I can walk and the mind can just be with it. Then he feel the peacefulness. Then you don't think so much. When you are not anchored to your physical, kaya nupasana, you think a lot, understand? When you are not aware, when you are aware of your movement, you cannot think, understand? But when you are not aware, you think a lot. And most people are healers, but they are not aware of this. If they are not aware of this, man can only do one thing at a time. You are either lost in thought, or you are aware with the moment. And I can ask you a very simple question. How many of you, before you know the Dhamma, are aware and can be with the moment? You go and check back. I go, one classmate told me, Aukachi. I said, can't you just silent and don't think? Crazy like you. I say, where got no thing on? Don't think on it. How can you stop thinking? He said, cannot. That's why he cannot meditate. You know, he got a lot of things in the brain. He carry this thinking, a lot of worry. Well, his job is also very hectic, not easy. A company where you had to look after all the engineers, the technician, the staff and all those things, admin staff. And all this, every month, he said, the salary bill, you cannot stop one now. And he said, 1 month is very fast one. Open your eye beginning of the month, suddenly middle of the month, then end of the month, payday again. He said, you don't have the fee coming in. Sometimes got to chase for payment and all those things. But lately, after I went and joined them, they make a lot of money. Then they got a lot of money in the bank reserve. Until one day, the bank call up now. How come your company so different? One? You got so much cash in the bank and you don't know how to use. The bank asked. So that is why later on he got not so much money problem to pay salary or this thing, because we did very well after I went there. His problem is work's problem. Understand? How to fulfill his obligation as a consultant. Then sometimes you have to please the client. Then sometimes you have problem with projects, and all these things that happen on the site and all those things. Then sometimes you got problem with contractors, staff problem, a lot of other problems. So he is alone mainly to deal with all this. Then sometimes staff problem also. Then sometimes got job, cannot get staff. And he used to tell me, he said, nowadays very difficult, not like last time. No. Now you advertise, you send out the advertisement to get people. You know how difficult, no? He said, you can never, like last time, find somebody that is appropriate, because he said, like, no more non-Malay applying. No. Yeah, non-Malay all got better job on. They don't want this hard job on. Then he received one, all those English also cannot speak properly. You know. But he got to use them. He got no choice. Well, he is not willing to pay high. So he has all these problems. That's why when you have all these problems, you think a lot, you worry a lot. That's why he got panic attack. He he got insomnia and all those things. But he has recovered. Yeah, he has recovered. Yeah. So not so bad. Earlier on, he got phobia on. That's why he smoke a lot, he drink a lot, because keep him calm. Actually, smoking is a type of anapanasati, you know. No? Yeah? You're very mindful of the whole of the breathing. The smoke go in, come out, you can do pattern and all those things. That is like magic. Huh? You can blow bubble, circle, then they can clear the shape. Because you can control the whole of the breathing movement, it's very clear. And that one, that clarity at that moment is actually mindfulness, and you make them calm, peaceful. That's why they get addicted. Every time they got fear, they got panic attack, or they will pull a cigarette. Yeah? Calm them down. Yeah. Okay, we go on with this. Huh? Space to experience at the thought level. That's why Krishnamurti used this word. Time is the space for experiencing, and experience only dulls the mind and heart, because you create thinking and yourself. You start to accumulate, you start to develop attachment to all this experience that you come across, and you use thought to keep it alive and yourself. That's why you have a lot of space to experience all this. Actually, it's through your thinking and yourself. Through your memories and all those things. Then the next part is even more beautiful. The mind is filled and the heart has turned away. Now you understand. That mind is... What mind is it? Mundane mind, the thinking mind. The heedless mind. The heedless mind is full, anasana. That's why your heart turned away. The nature is there. All the while. Why can't you realize it? Why can't you connect to it and stay there and become beautiful? Why do you allow the heedlessness to arise and get yourself entangled and lost in the field of thought, world of thought? Because you can't see. You are not silent. You cannot experience that. That's why even to have a moment of peace and silence is so difficult to most people. If they can buy peace, they will pay for it, I tell you. That's why now in Japan, in Korea, or the advanced country, our store, lunchtime, you can pay money and go into a shop that actually auto-suggests to you, give you good music and calm you down and make you peaceful. People pay for it. They feel good after that day. After they go in and experience that. It's like a good massage for the mind. Then we move on. This next sentence is very beautiful. That's why I put a star there. To see, knowledge must be kept in the book. Now you understand. What is knowledge? Yeah? Knowledge is what? Memory. You accumulate all of memory. And that becomes your knowledge. You try to remember things. Understand not? Like in the school days, the capital of Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, population, how many million. You commit to memory there. And this one has nothing to do with wisdom, but knowledge is rigid. Knowledge will tell you this is right, this is wrong. But they never tell you right and wrong according to who. Because they have their convention. So knowledge is a very rigid one. One is one, two is two. It's never creative. It is not like wisdom. Wisdom is not rigid. Wisdom is understanding. The moment you understand any circumstances, whatever that happened, you will understand. You will know how to deal with it. But knowledge is rigid because you will try to recall through memory. Hey, what did Brother Teo say? What must I do? Or what did the Buddha say? When I see this, when I got fear, what must I do? I must see things as they are. Talking to yourself using thought more and more, understand? And this is knowledge, understand? When you understand, all these questions cease to be. Who is asking? The thought that don't understand is asking, understand? And the thought cannot understand the one that is being shared, because that is wisdom, understanding. Wisdom is an understanding. The moment you understand, it is forever with the form of mind. You can never forget. That's why don't try to remember anything. like Guang Qing Lao Sang said, zhō wán de mei shi le is one thing. He said, people ask him, what is wisdom? 什么是智慧? 智慧, he said, very special, very unique. Sometimes the cultivator is there. The wisdom arises already. They still don't know. Yeah, they still don't know, which is true. Because to them, this is not knowledge, understand? It's something that has arisen, awakened. Like they contemplated, they reflected, or all of a sudden, they understand. And they don't know that it's wisdom. But the funny thing is, you see, this type of wisdom, after that, when you confront life, when you meet situation, the mind is totally different already, you know. It's not like last time, you know. It cannot panic. It's no more fear. It cannot react. Then it know what to do, you know. It's just aware. Then it know what to do. That is wisdom, is it? 这才是智慧, is it? The one that you think you know is all knowledge, is it? That's why the Buddha said the Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Because when it arises, sometimes the form and mind also doesn't know. Like some of the Kahemita used to share and report to me. But till now, very different. Last time, a lot of panic, a lot of fear. Now, like, even the bad news come, you just silent and where? Then, so? Do what you have to do. Why panic? Like if we saw the car like that, didn't even shout or panic. It's just aware. Because when Jim drove, skidded on a rainy day, and everybody was panicking. But he suddenly experienced that the awareness was there. He just fully aware of the whole moment. And the car came to a stop. Then didn't even scold anybody or panic. Then just do what has to do. This is what wisdom is all about. Where you know, you got two choices. React, you become miserable. Understand? And you create more confusion. You accept the reality, then just do what you have to do to resolve the situation. That is wisdom. Either react, stir your mind and become afflicted, or accept the reality, be with the moment and resolve it amicably through wisdom, through understanding. Using, we are using, nobody for. And this is what meditation is all about. That's why when it arrives, you will know where your mindfulness is there. You will be aware and there is no panic. Understand? Your mind is different. Yeah. Okay, we go on. So this part is even more beautiful. To see, knowledge must be kept in the book and not in the mind. This one refers to the true mind, the heart. Then, knowledge. What does knowledge do? When you have knowledge, you like very clever. You want to interpret. Then you argue with people. No lah, this era, Ming Dynasty one lah, very ancient one lah. From your knowledge, isn't it? Then somebody come, who say, I buy from Pasar Malam one. Where got Ming Dynasty? These are all imitation. So how? Argue one. Because you got too much knowledge. That's why knowledge interpret. Then what else do knowledge do? Yeah? Knowledge condition you to choose, understand? Yeah, you know how you choose. Buy or not to buy. Is it expensive? All this thought proliferate, understand? Then you like want to choose. And Krishnamurti say a very good sentence, a very good quote. He said, wherever there is choice, there is confusion. Understand? When you have to make a choice, means you don't understand. There's confusion. Why must you choose? Think it's just the way it is. Understand? Choose for what? Meant to be, will be. If you have the means, have the condition, want to buy, just buy. Understand? But you don't buy because you have craving, you have desire. You buy where there is condition to buy. Like sometimes I go travel, even China or where. You see all these boys, girls, they come and like want to sell you a lot of things. My nature knew. You won't buy one. You will not say, aiya, out of compassion, kasyan, buy, buy, buy. I won't buy one. I just say, okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. Then I walk away. Then all of a sudden, when I saw one old lady, for no reason, she just came to me. You know, and this was at the Han San Si. That's why I bought the art, the poem, for our money, I think less than 10 ringgit. He just sold me for 20 renminbi. He came from a distance, smiling, holding the thing very nicely, and I approached it. Then I smiled back. Then like I can sense, she just offered it to me. Is it? I said, no, no, I pay you. How much? He saw a smile and said, 20 renminbi. I said, okay, I pay you. I pay her 20. Then after that, I took the thing. Then, of course, mindfully, I had this joy. Then I sent something. Then I turned my back. She's gone. No more there. I don't know where she disappeared to. He cannot be selling this. She only got one in the hand. Yeah. Then she disappeared. That's why I rejoined. Meant to be, will be, it will come. And I didn't know what the art was, no, until I show it to my wife. He explained to me, only I understand. The famous poem that he wrote about Han San Si, the bell one, the river passing, the scholar who failed the exam. Go back. Then, because he was so sad, then he heard the bell, no, the ringing of the Han San Si, the bell. And that one make him feel peaceful, calm and good, despite the failure. Then that's why that poem become very famous. It's like, this bell can relieve your suffering. It has that vibration. It has that ability to impact upon people who are in that state. So that's why it became the famous poem of Han San. And that Han San still got a lot of affinity with my nature. Okay, we have to go on, otherwise I don't have enough time. Okay, this one we have to move faster. The knowledge interpret, chooses, then gives color. You know what is give color, make it colorful. Like rays and all those things. Give a lot of coloring to it. Then opinion. Knowledge will give you a lot of opinion. Then they try to weigh. Advantage or not. For me or not for me. Because you got a lot of knowledge. You try to think. Can you make profit out of it? Understand? Because you try to think and find out the value. Then you hope you buy cheap thing. Then you can sell it for a big profit. So all this is what knowledge is doing. Then, of course, criticizing. Choosing repeater. And then there is no seeing. You understand? Because you are preoccupied with your cunning thinking. Understand? Wow, this one, can I make money? Or you just want to impress people and argue with people. This is what knowledge is. And you are doing that throughout the day when you are not mindful, when you don't have the Dhamma, when you don't understand. Because you are so preoccupied there. And to you, that is normal. That is what human beings do. I have to bargain, I have to haggle. And I have to have this knowledge to become successful. That's why the Buddha also say, knowledge bind. Understand? In Mahayana, it's best. So zi zang. You know what is so zi zang? Everything you come to know, which is knowledge, is an obstruction to cultivation. The other one is fan nao zang. Understand? When you have fear, worry, anxiety, that is an obstruction. Coming obstruction to cultivation. That's why so zi zang, fan nao zang, very powerful. Everything you know becomes a knowledge. And knowledge bind, because knowledge will prevent you from understanding. Where you use the thought, psychological time. You can never silence. Then when the mind is so crowded, crowded with what? With all the things he described, understand? With all your mental reactions, stirring, conditioning, belief system, rites and ritual and all those things. So when your mind is so clouded and your heart is so down with sorrow, how can there be seeing? Now you understand. Especially when you are sad. You got no mood for anything, understand? Not to say hear anybody talking to you. That's why sometimes people call you. You suddenly, huh? You're talking to me, ah? Because you are thinking, you are worrying about something, understand? So, this mind that has become like that, it cannot see. How can there be seeing? What you see is your own mental images, projection, your own desire, your own fear, your own anxiety. But you don't see what is. What is what is? The reality, the truth. Seeing things as they are. It goes by, and you are lost with your own toy. Understand? What are your toy? Your thinking, your grasping, your attachment, your craving, your desire, your mental activity. That's why the reality is always there. Thing is just the way it is, but you never see, you never experience. That's why Krishnamurti say it goes by, and you are lost with your own toy. Means within your own mental world, understand? When you are lost within your own mental world, it's like you already cuckoo, understand? Like the depressed people, the thought keep on arising, tape recorder repeating, 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 and getting angry at the same thing. Yeah. And attach and worry. Sometimes pass away, separation, disease, somebody, loved one died, and they couldn't accept the reality. They become so emotional, so sad, so sorrowful, that thought keep on running in the thought. I should have done this, I shouldn't have neglected him. If I have done all this, he will not die. Then you blame yourself. You have a lot of remorse. And this is all suffering, attachment, clinging, grasping. The reality is, he passed away, or she passed away. So that reality, you don't wake up, you are forever in depression, sorrow, lamentation, clinging on to that thought process. But when you do see, do listen, this one is very beautiful, then that act is a miracle that transforms. Completely transform you, really. You must experience that. That's why you must have daily mindfulness in the midst of life to experience that. Then when you have that, you know what happened. Then that act is the miracle that transforms, that has emptied the mind and the heart of what? Of what? No. Of the past, understand not? The past means what? No more the reality, understand not? No more with the moment. Means you are not creating psychological time and lost in thought. That's why it's empty of all those things. It experiences and it moves on. It don't accumulate. That's why the Mahayana, Khu Chi, second overthrow, the cause of suffering is Chi, accumulation. Which is very accurate. Very, very accurate. Where you accumulate through memory. And when you accumulate through memory, what happens? All of your experiences in life, you accumulate. Good and bad. And what are they? They are all your joy, your sorrow, your psychological fear, your scars of memory, your views, your opinion, your selfishness, your greed, your emotional negativity, your insecurity, your sadness, your sorrow, the memory of all those things, your attachment. So what happened? If you hold on to all this in your brain and your memory, then you act according to memory. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all, because you're acting according to your fear, your insecurity, your phobia, your scars of memory. And how can you act? There is no love at all, understand? Because this memory trigger of all these experiences that you have control, and these are all positive and negative. Then how should you act? You remember the whiteboard up there? You should act with wisdom and understanding. This is how you act. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Whereas if you have the Dhamma, you will act according to understanding, means you have right view. leading to right thought, right speech, right action, and all those things, the Noble Eightfold Path, then you will act according to wisdom or understanding. And this is true action. That's why when you act according to understanding, there is no fear. But you understand. Thing is just the way it is. Condition like that, it will be like that. Happen already. That's it. I accept the reality. Then I move on. I resolve it amicably. Then there is no more projection of thought. No more fear. No more worry. No more caring. All these things. No more checking in memory. Are you how ah? So and so also have this problem, Lord. I must call him, Lord. And before you call him, you panic already, you know. You don't know what to do, Lord. But the reality is within the moment. Within the moment is the reality. Accept it first. Means what? You don't stir your mind. You don't project your thought. You don't create fear, worry, anxiety. You are at peace with it. Because it's the reality. Happened already. I cannot change. What must I do? What are my options? That's why with a clear mind, there's attentiveness, there's awareness. Then your creative understanding will tell you, okay, no need to argue, no need to score, no need to do all these foolish things. The reality is, happen really accident. Need to send to hospital, send to hospital. Need to make a police report, make a police report. That person passed away. Pass away means pass away. Do what you have to do to help the family member to tie over this period. And this is more fruitful, understand? Rather than to panic, to worry about it, and to add in all those things. Why you so stupid? You should have followed him. If you have followed him, this thing will not have happened. This is all not the reality. This is all the thought telling you, another, making you angry, emotional, pointing your finger, blaming, criticizing, like what Krishnamurti said. And there is no action. Because you don't focus on the reality. You focus on what your thought tells you. Your thought is very, very egoic, cunning. You only point finger at people. You don't point at yourself. If people answer back, then you also very stupid. Right? You have followed him, also nothing happened. Why are you lucky, angry? Then you will try to bring out something else. I eat salt more than you eat rice. You don't try to tell me. So you end our argument. Emotion, angry. So all this is not the way to live life. So Krishnamurti said, you don't have to do anything. Remember? Like I used to tell you, you don't have to do anything. Just silent. Be with the moment. And accept the reality. It will settle down. There is a condition arising. Depending on you. Anger is not you. Fear is not you. Don't do anything. Be with it. Silent. Away. It will cease to be. Then you realize, hey, I don't have to control it. I don't have to suppress it. I don't have to fight it. I only need to understand it, that these are conditioned arising entity. Fear is not me. Anger is not me. Selfishness is not me. They are content of consciousness that arise through wrong view, delusion. So when I silence the third way, just aware, it ceases to be. Oh, then I realize how the unarisen hindrance comes to be and how the arisen hindrance ceases to be. Then there is wisdom, there is understanding. Then you will come to understand how in the future you will not arise again. And this is how you overcome defilement. Not through control, suppression, and those funny things via your knowledge, cunningness. Or you think you're very smart. Or I must cut that feeling. I must not get angry. All this. These are foolish. Then, or I must go back to retreat to train myself. Not an hour, but two some more. So if you do all those without understanding, you are actually wasting your time. So you don't have to do anything because thought is incapable of this miracle. Understand or not? You can follow. Well, if you use thought and try to reason and try to solve your problem, you will never solve your problem. You can solve your mathematical problem. Understand or not? Your worldly problem. But you cannot have wisdom to free your mind from suffering. Your thought is incapable of that. Your thought is mechanical. Yeah. Then we move on. Then the seeing is love, as listening is. When you understand all this, everything you see, there is love. Where there is no opposite. There is no comparing, no weighing, no criticism, and all those things. It's just that moment, so pristine, so beautiful, so wonderful. That's why that heart opens up, and there is just love, just joy, just intense love. You have no negativity inside there. It just be with the moment, so beautiful, to experience all those without thought. Then the other thing is, you cannot come to this through exertion. Exertion means use effort. Through the downness of discipline. Discipline means what? Yeah? Train. Yeah? Like you train. Yeah? You discipline yourself to sit, not to move. Huh? You discipline yourself not to do this, not to do that. Like military, you understand what? Military. Well, almost discipline on. Cannot go against one. March also must be very straight on. Huh? Oh, cannot out of sequence and all those things. So no amount of discipline can give rise to that miracle, because discipline is mechanical, thought-based. Then the other one is, through any bargaining, nor through the shock of unanswerable question. You know what is shock of unanswerable question? Or not? Yeah? Bargaining, you know, bargaining. Like you bargain with the dainty. Yeah? I remember my mother last time, young that time, I will offer you chicken, slaughter you all the piglet and all this thing, and offer you fruits and all this thing. But you protect my children. You make them pass exam. You make them don't get sick. You bargain. How can you realize this through all this? Then the other one is, through the shock of unanswerable question. This one refer to the Mahayana Kong An. You don't know how to use Kong An. You will end up doing all those things. Because they think, with the Kong An, they shock you. Understand? Then you will become enlightened. Yeah? Like they ask the question, 谁在念佛? Understand? Who is chanting the Buddha's name? 谁在念佛? You're supposed to reflect and contemplate, no? Understand? No? And develop the second turning wisdom. And through the meditation, you start to understand why this Kong An can assist you. Because you never inquire, who is the one meditating? Who is the one chanting the Buddha's name? If you can find out who, then you will awaken. Understand? It's the thought. And the thought is not you. And what is thought? Byproduct of the true nature, impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach and cling deludedly. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent changing entity. That's why it's non-self, it's empty. You're supposed to realize this, understand? But not to shock yourself. Sejanenpo. Every day go and ask this question. You are not contemplating at all, understand? Then when you see somebody, fellow monk, Sejanenpo. Who is chanting the Buddha? Keep on asking. As if when I shock you, you shock me, we can become enlightened. What is Hua Tuo? What do they do? Cannot. If you keep on doing that, you become like what Krishnamurti say. No amount of shock, true shock of unanswerable question. There must be emptiness to see, to listen. There must be quietness, a free mind, free of all the conditioning. But you are conditioned by what people tell you. They say, through this Kong An, you keep on inquiring. So they thought inquiring means ask question. It's not like that. Inquiry means what? Like I tell you. I used to explain to you, inquiry means what? You throw up that question. Then don't go and think about it. That is the one that will guide your creative mind to understand. Then you reflect, you contemplate. Just like the Buddha said, birth is suffering. You throw it out. You don't try to think, no. You're just aware. Then recall to mind the word birth. Then it will recollect through your memory the whole of the birth process. Understand? Huh? The whole of the birth process. Then suddenly you will come to realize all the wonder birth is suffering. Because you remember how your wife suffered, or as a lady, you remember the birth process. It's to allow you to recollect through mindfulness of what all this you have experienced before. Then link to the word, birth is suffering. like Sui Zai Dian Fo, who is chanting the Buddha, you just throw it up, understand not? Then don't go and create any more thinking. Then just reflect, contemplate, and recall to mindfulness when I meditate. Who is inside there chanting this one? You understand? It's no more thinking now. It's investigating clearly through recollection of mindfulness what you have been doing in the name of meditation when you meditate, when you silence your mind. Then you realize that verbalization, that chanting, is actually the thought. But when you chant and chant, chant until there is no one chanting, the awareness and the thing as one, then the word didn't come out, the nature is with that chanting, then you realize there is no one chanting. It's just the awareness and the thing as one. That's how you awaken. You can follow now. Not what they think. You must keep on asking that question. When you are too busy asking that question, you become heedless, understand? It's like those who do thought-based meditation. You're too busy noting. What are you doing? You create more thought, isn't it? And you are too busy verbalizing. Standing, standing, standing. Intending to walk, intending to walk. When you verbalize, you cannot be silent. When you note, you are using thought to note. You are not using awareness. But to do that, you only need to be silent. The moment you are silent, you're already aware, like what I write here. Mindfulness and sati, awareness before the knowing. So your intention is to develop this silent mind. So the moment you are silent, the moment you are without thought, you are already aware or silent. And this is how you understand. So when you understand this, you don't have to do. Who is doing? The thought is doing. That's why I say relax, aware, silent. And you will understand. It will awaken. That's why the real meditation is not what people think. It's just awareness before the knowing. And from there, you will start to understand. You will see how your mind stir, how it react and arise the duality, and how it condition you into craving, grasping, and all these things. Then you see the whole flow of dependent origination due to ignorance, avijja, create mental activity, paccaya sankhara, because you don't understand. One thing to know, one thing to experience, you start to think. Because you thought by thinking you can understand. That's why in the school when you don't understand, the teacher say, go back and think. So you have been conditioned that way. Not understanding that thinking is egoic, the egoic mind. And that one cannot awaken you. Because it's knowledge. It's limited within the memory, the field of thought. You cannot realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Now you start to develop more and more clearer understanding of the whole process. Yeah, this one need time to go in. Then like what Man Yuan went through, that one is just asking for forgiveness, repentance. This meditation also same. After a while, when you understand, really, all of a sudden one day, ayo, why so stupid? Our brother Theo has been repeating this for so many times. Now only I start to understand. But it's not too late, understand? As long as you start to understand, you progress very fast. That's why I say, take your time. Don't hurry. Make sure you understand pariyatti, learning of the teaching. When you understand, you cultivate, you progress very fast. You understand very fast. Then you no more make mistake. You no more run the unfruitful route. Zou yan wang lu, they used to say. Then no need to every time go Holland. You go Holland too many times, you don't know how to come back after that. Ayo, sorry, 10:40 already. Hey, we better stop. Okay. Huh? No, finish already. Oh, yeah, sorry. You want me to finish? Oh, okay. This one very fast. It was rather late in the night. Lightning and rain were making great noise. again, the brain was aware of the lightning and the rain on the window. But it was what? Like just now what I tell you lah. In the midst of activity, there is stillness. That's why it's motionless. Then, astonishingly still. Understand? That's why it can be done. Even the lightning, everything in the midst of all this vibration, all this sound. The brain, the nature is still, motionless. That is the real meditation. That is the real mind. Then Krishnamurti said, again, the brain was aware of all this, but it was motionless, astonishingly still. For that immensity was there with clarity and unapproachable strength. That's why that wisdom, that understanding can make your mind like that. No need to go into concentration, samatha, and all those things, jhana, to stay like that. Understand? In the midst of life, with that free mind, that wisdom, it is just like that. Because when you understand that nature is so beautiful, you will stay there and be heedful. You will not want to come out and become heedless. Understand? Well, the heedless mind is the mundane mind, the thinking mind. It has made you foolish for so long, heedless for so long. You still want to go and allow it to do it. You will never. That's why you stay there, connect to it, away from there. And when you are away from there, you are not using thought in a heedless way. Understand? Because thought is a tool, you remember I said, for you to use. Then you know what is wholesome, what is unwholesome. What are the evil roots? What are the defilements? What are the mental hindrances? And how you become entangled? You lack the spiritual faculty. Then you will know how to cultivate the spiritual faculty. You will know how to advise people. Then you will know how to develop the meditation accordingly. Then you use thought beautifully. You can only arise right thought. Why? Because you are incapable of negativity. With that wisdom, you know it's never worthwhile to create evil root. It will make you evil. It will create negativity to cause your nature to fall, your coming nature. So this is what meditation is all about. When you understand the awareness is so beautiful, that true mind is so beautiful, there is so much clarity, it can see so many things, your subtle defilement, craving, they come back through the back door. It's not to see. Because you become so sensitive, you can feel so many things. The slightest stress or what they call movement within, you can feel it. That's like at the moment of perception, moment of feeling, there is suffering. You can feel it. That's why this mind doesn't want to arise. No point. Unless you want to suffer. But then, after a while, when you go through this phase and you awaken, the mind becomes different again. You remember? The third phase. Kan san si san. Kan san bu si san. But the third phase, you go beyond kan san bu si san, you become normal again. Kan san yu si san. Then the mind go back to normal. No? That sensitivity, no need to go too early. You awaken to it already, the suffering. Then the wisdom is always connected to the nature. That's why it can go back to normal life. Then it can experience everything like a normal person. The only difference is the wisdom connected to it is no more deluded. That's why it cannot go back to the old way. It cannot be deceived, deluded by the phenomenal world. Nothing can make it different. And that is the beauty of that nature connected with the wisdom. Then the form and mind become beautiful. That is the one that you call noble one. But that one is not you, understand? It's just a condition arising, karmically conditioned out of a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this world, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. And this is what meditation is all about. Understanding this, develop the wisdom connected to the form and mind, and you become beautiful, even though it's not the real you, understand? Even though life is just within the moment, moment to moment, not so real. But there is such thing as life. The form and mind can experience all this so beautifully without having to hold on to memory and thought. is so pristine. Every moment is so beautiful. Okay, we better end, otherwise he would. Oh, 10:45. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It seems nowadays more and more of this condition. I don't know why. Every talk is now so different because there are beings who can understand. There are also Kayanamita who starts to have that ability, and some already have that understanding. That's why this higher Dhamma has to come out because of the Bodhisattva way. And also, after this March retreat, a lot of you will transform. A lot of understanding will unfold. Okay? So, I really rejoice. My nature really rejoices. And I wish all Kayanamita beautiful progress in the path of Dhamma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah, when this understanding unfolds, the condition will come. That's why recently I was also very surprised. The transcript, I think, start to come out already. And so far in my hand, I got 4 or 5 already. And I got no time to finish it off. But I will try, I will try. Yeah. And these are so beautiful. It's like today's talk, I tell you. You can really transcript it out. It is going to become very, very different again because its approach is again slightly different. I shared the same thing in Tuesday class. You ask them. It's different. That side got that condition over there. Yeah. But some are the same. Yeah. But there is variation because of the difference in condition. Yeah. And you combine them, it becomes so beautiful. Okay? We better do our sharing of merits. Huh? Let us compose our mind, recall to mind all the wholesomeness, then we will share this wholesomeness with all the beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana itta watta camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo otu yawa nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, then we end.
Thank you and sadhu to two of them for inviting us to come to their house for this Dhamma sharing. Thank you.